There is a terrific movie that's going to be coming out in December. And I don't know if you've heard of this. Have you ever heard the story Les Miserables? This story is coming out. Yeah, I was first introduced to this story when I was taking a college-aged Kelly O'Leary, who would later become Kelly Kleinbell, out to Illinois to drop her off. And she had the cassette tape of this entire play. And as we listened to the song, she would walk me through the story, and I found it fascinating. If you don't know what the story is, it takes place in the 1800s in France when things were tough. And there is a man, and his name is Jean Valjean. And turns out that his sister, going through hard times and he going through hard times, his sister's child doesn't have anything to eat. And so Jean Valjean tries to solve that any way he can, and eventually the only way that he can solve that problem is to steal a loaf of bread. But he's caught. He's caught by Inspector Javert. Inspector Javert goes by the letter of the law, puts Jean Valjean in prison, and Jean Valjean is in prison for a long time, a short time for stealing a loaf of bread and a long time for trying to escape. And as he's in prison, he's no longer called Jean Valjean, but a new life begins under the name of Prisoner 24601. And that becomes how he is known in that section of his life. But then later, he gets out of prison. He is finally paroled, and Inspector Javert gives him that watchful eye and lets him know, you can leave, but you must always carry this letter saying that you were a convict, and that you were on parole. And Javert says, if you ever get off track, I'll come track you down. Well, prisoner 24601 heads out and tries to make life good for himself, but finds that with this letter that he has to always show, he's not given too many opportunities. And so, he has to leave the world of being prisoner 24601, and he takes on a new identity. This new man who he becomes doesn't tell anyone that he's on parole, therefore he's broken his parole, and he's in trouble. But he takes on a new persona, and he does very, very well for himself. Eventually, he becomes the mayor of a town in France. He's doing that well. And he's always been a powerful man who could do amazing things, but as he's the mayor of this town, he's in charge of this amazing factory, and plenty of workers work for him. He starts to struggle with who he really is. And now Inspector Javert is out looking for this parolee who broke his parole. And he's going to track him down. Even though it's been years since he's seen him, he's going to look for this man because you know he's a powerful man. And then one day, as Javert is in the streets of the town where Jean Valjean is the mayor, a cart, a runaway cart, breaks loose and traps a man in the middle of the street. And the mayor comes down because he is so powerful. He's able to lift the cart by himself. And Javert witnesses this whole thing. Now Javert has caught another guy who he thinks is the prisoner who broke parole. And he's about to take him to trial, but then he sees that this guy has done this amazing feat of strength. There was only one guy who he knew who could do such a thing. Prisoner 24601, who was previously Jean Valjean. And when Jean Valjean is confronted with this entire scene and a man going to prison under his name, he has to decide, who am I? Who am I really? Am I going to live a false life? Am I going to live under different names? Or am I going to come clean and say who I really am? Let me show you what it looks like. Things that makes this story so powerful is that confession. It's that declaration by Jean Valjean of who he actually is. You see, he had been hiding his true identity so he could get by in life, right? He'd been hiding his true identity so that he could work and not be hassled. He's been hiding his true identity so he wouldn't have to deal with all of the questions and the watchful eyes of others. And I can relate to that struggle. You see, in 1983, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, knowing full well that people would judge my actions. Decided to follow Jesus Christ, give him my life, knowing full well that that would mean being questioned continually. Became a follower of Jesus Christ, knowing that others would hold me accountable to my confessed faith. You know, it's not uncommon for believers in Jesus Christ to live their Christian life quietly. It's not uncommon for believers in Jesus Christ to live their Christian life covertly. Maybe I can have two lives. Maybe I can have a life that I live here at Westbridge among these safe people. And then I can have another life. Right? Another life that I can live around people who aren't God's. Well, gang, many have tried the old Jean Valjean trick. And they found that when they try to live two different lives, it leads to anxiety. It leads to confusion. Luke 16:13 says this, "No servant can serve two masters. The servant will hate one master and love the other, or will follow one master and refuse to follow the other. You cannot serve both God and worldly riches." See, the truth is, you can't serve God and hide it under some type of a covering. The truth is, you can't serve God and not live the life that he's supplying that will give us and bring us freedom and joy. The truth is, you can't serve God and anything else at all, according to what we read. You know, the teens who did youth service not that long ago, they asked us on youth night, "Are you all in?" Because the truth is, you're either all in or you're really not in at all. That's why Jesus set an incredible example for us before he headed out into the world to tell the world about God's amazing gift of forgiveness. It says this in Matthew chapter 3, verse starting at verse 13. "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the river Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk Jesus out of it. 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' John said. 'So why are you coming to me?' But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy.'" You see, with this act of water baptism, Jesus is answering the "who am I" question. He's answering it with a statement that says, "I am a follower of God in heaven." He's answering it by being baptized and declaring, "I have chosen to obey God and do his will, not my own." He is saying, "I am defined by my followership of God." Jesus is saying to our teens, "I'm fully in." God does not want you and I living a life where we are constantly in a battle with who we really are. We talked about this when we studied the Belt of Truth in the Armor of God series. We talked about how our basest, most securing piece of equipment as a follower of Jesus has to be truth. It must become part of us. God is saying that we must deal with this, with what is really going on in our lives, being honest about who we genuinely are and who we are genuinely serving. In God's army, soldiers have to be aware and honest and live in the reality of who they are. So when I head into my day and all the spiritual battles that I face, I and the people around me will know who I stand for. That's why God, in his infinite wisdom, came up with a practice called baptism. Baptism in front of each person who engages, for each and every person who engages God's forgiveness. Each one of us must individually address the question, who am I? And when we have addressed that question, we must not hide that answer. And we can't leave it hidden. Instead, it's to be made public. Every July for the past 10 years, brave individuals have done just this. They come to a pool and they share their story. They step into a pool and they tell us who they are. First, they tell us who they were. And there aren't usually very many dry eyes around that pool as people fill in the blanks of their story of who I was. These individuals share their journeys of their road, a road that took them from death to life. But as we see that baptism day, each story really ends the same. Each story arrives at the same exact place. Music of each person's life story starts to build to a crescendo. Who am I? Each person talks about a visit that they made to the cross of Jesus Christ. Who am I? And then, with all of heaven witnessing what's going on around that pool, and with all of us standing around as witnesses here on earth, that person makes the declaration, who am I? I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That's who I am. And that's who I desire to be as I move forward. I know it. God knows it. But I want the world to know it. Colossians 2:12 tells us that submersion under the water is a picture. It's a picture of what has happened in our life. It's where our old life is being buried, just like Jesus Christ was buried. And coming up out of the water is a picture of us emerging to a new, fresh, clean, wholesome life with God. I tell you all of this tonight because some people who are here have reached this point in their journey with God. And it's time to tell the world the answer to the who am I question. The first thing you need to do is just come down and speak to me after the service. But I want to answer a couple questions that frequently get asked when we get to this point, we start talking about water baptism. So if you allow me, I'll give you the questions and I'll give you the answers to them. The first question that we often get hit with is this. I was baptized as a child, as an infant. So should I be baptized again? Well, gang, baptism is really all about you saying, I have personally chosen to accept Jesus as my Savior, and I am going to serve him. We believe that the Bible reserves baptism for those who come to and make that decision for themselves. Therefore, if your question is, should I be baptized even though I was baptized as a child, I recommend that you honor God, and honor yourself and others, and be baptized. Come and see me. We'll talk you through it. Another question that we're often asked is about age. How about this one? I'm 6 years old, so am I too young to be baptized? Well, gang, age is going to vary. It is going to vary. As far as truly understanding and truly laying hold of God's truth. I'll say this, six-year-olds that I have met plenty who certainly can understand that they've sinned and they can understand that Jesus paid the penalty for them on the cross. So what we do here at Westbridge is I meet and speak to each and every candidate who comes to me and says they would like to be baptized. I find out if they're able to understand and if they've truly made a commitment to Jesus Christ. So, if age is a question, come and see me. Here's another question we get hit a lot with. I'm not sure where I stand with Jesus. I've been coming and I'm investigating. So should I be baptized? Will that help me learn more? Well, I would say this. If that's you, I encourage you to continue your investigation. Baptism doesn't get you into heaven. That's not what gets you into heaven. You need to determine if Jesus is truly the Son of God in your heart, and if his death on the cross is where you want to place your hope and your faith for forgiveness of your sins. Baptism is only for those who've already made that decision. They've repented of their sins, they've accepted Jesus for who he says he was, and they've had him now be their Savior. So, the answer to that question, I'm not sure where I stand with Jesus, I'm still investigating, should I be baptized? The bottom line, no. Continue your investigation. Here's another one. I can't physically get in the water. So, is fully immersed, full immersion under the water, is that the only thing that counts with God? Well, gang, God honors our hearts, and he honors your desire. If you cannot get into the pool, we can still baptize you. There's a way we will pour water over you, and you can still tell the world that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's another. The question came as this. As a teenager, I accepted Jesus Christ, and I was baptized. I was baptized as a teen, believing in Jesus Christ. But along the way, I have not lived a life like Jesus Christ, and I have not lived a life of obedience at all. Until now. So, should I get re-baptized? Now that I really want to follow Jesus Christ and I want another shot at it, should I get re-baptized? Well, gang, when we make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, it is a rocky road. We made the commitment and we told the world we were following Jesus Christ, and we really only need to do that once. You really only need to make that commitment once. And now, if you've come to a point where you're coming out of some rough life, you know what? Honor the commitment that you made back then. It's kind of like being married and going through rough roads and then saying, okay, now we got things right. Should we get married again? You don't have to get married again. You're still married. So for that question, we say, you know what? Baptism is something we do once. We decide to follow Jesus Christ. We do that once. And then we honor that commitment, even if we haven't been so good at honoring it in the past. Another question. Will not getting baptized keep me out of heaven? Well, there's only one thing that gets someone into heaven or prevents them from getting into heaven. And that's whether or not they have had their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ and placing their faith in Jesus. I believe a better question would be this. Lord, do you want me to get baptized? Asking God himself. The answer here is that nowhere in the New Testament is believer baptism ever considered unimportant or unnecessary or optional. I would point you to Jesus' example as the best candidate and say, if he didn't skip baptism, I wouldn't skip it either. So, to finish up, what do I have to do? What are the steps for me to pronounce to the world that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? First, you come and you talk to me. I talk you through the process and we see if you're at a point where you really are ready to be baptized. The second thing you would do, if that's the case and you are ready, you write down your story. We ask you to write down your story because you're going to tell your story. And if, by some chance that day, you're too worked up, too emotional, we can give that to somebody else, a friend, and they can read your story for you. I cry easy, and I understand your pain. So, write down your story of how you connected with God, and we'll have that read that day. And the third thing you have to do is show up in 3 weeks. Show up at the water's edge. Be brave. Answer the who am I question. Because honesty is where you will find release. The truth will set you free. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's time to stand up and be counted. I'm going to ask the band to come back and our worship leaders to come back. I don't know where each of you are at in your journey, but I know a lot of people have been coming for many months, been learning more and more about Jesus Christ, been understanding it better than they have before. They say, you know what, this is a scary thing. You're asking me to stand in front of all heaven, to stand in front of all these folks at a pool and announce to the world that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? Yeah, that's what God asks us to do. And I believe we have people who are ready now. Follower of Jesus Christ, he changed me, and I'm living for him. And Lord, I pray that as we go around that pool in 3 weeks, we would see the amazing power that you have to change people's lives, to take us from where we were and turn us into something beautiful. Lord, I pray that you would work in people's hearts, give them the strength, the courage they need through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for what you've done, and I thank you in advance for what you would do in declaring your name and letting us go public. In Jesus' name, amen.